Well, Happy New Year to all of you. Great to see you here. New decade with new possibilities. Anyone decided to make any New Year's resolutions? Show of hands here. Got a few, yeah. Maybe to eat healthier or start to exercise more. I know gym memberships usually increase at the beginning of January. I could certainly use some of that myself. What about this one? A better work-life balance. Anyone? Yeah, you're not alone. That's high on top of my list. And I think for a lot of us in this room and around our country, you know that America is the most overworked country in the world. One of the most overworked. We work more hours. We work more into the evenings and weekends than most other countries around. And that's taking its toll. Job burnout is at high levels. And I know that there are a lot of different causes of that, so I don't want to simplify it, but one of those is an improper work-life balance. And so that has its effect on us. We're constantly connected, thanks to technology, through our phones and through our computers. You know, we can always check work mails. We can always sort of plan and be on. It's hard to dial down and just get that space that we need to rest and to recuperate and to recharge. And you know that America is the only country that is an advanced economy that doesn't mandate paid vacation leave for its workers. And of those of us who do get vacation days, 47% of us don't even use all of our vacation days. And I'm guilty. I'm not saying yet. I've only been here 4 months, so haven't earned that much vacation. But even in Sweden, where you get a lot more, it's hard to find the time to do that. And there's a lot of reasons for that, but it does take its toll. And there is a correlation between less time off from work and increased stress. But it's not just the workforce that's experiencing this. Even among youth, this is an issue. You know, there's so many demands and pressures and responsibilities, you know, to be well-trained and well-fit, you know, to get good grades, to have an active social life. And the fact that everyone can see how we're doing on Instagram, on Snapchat, on Facebook, whatever media you're using, that puts added pressure on us to be successful. And that takes its toll. Somebody said, you know, we have so many irons in the fire that the fire is about to get put out. I think a lot of us can relate to that. Well, God's word has good news for us because God invites us all to take a Sabbath, to set aside one day a week to rest, to recharge, to connect with God and each other, and to celebrate. And it's not a legalistic burden. It's a freeing gift. It's a liberating gift that he gives to us. And there are a lot of benefits that come from observing a Sabbath day. And I want to talk about that today. Let us pray before we jump in. God, we do thank you for this new decade. We thank you for what you have in store for us. I pray that you would minister to us today as we look at your word and about what the Sabbath means for our lives. I pray that you would teach us by your Spirit, that you would encourage us, and that you would challenge us, and you would shape us. I pray for this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Well, keeping the Sabbath, first of all, helps us to recharge. The first statement of the commandment is found in Exodus 20 as one of the 10 commandments, number 4, depending on how you count. And remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. So Sabbath, Shabbat in Hebrew, means to cease or to rest. And so we see here that there's a pattern that's set up. God creates the world, the universe, in 6 days, whether you view them as 6 literal 24-hour periods or longer eras or a poetic description, there's a rhythm here. And then on the seventh, he rested. And as beings created in God's image, we are invited to do the same. It's kind of part of our DNA to do that, to work 6 days and then to rest on the seventh. to follow this pattern and this rhythm. And I love it. It's like God created the world and he stepped back to kind of take it all in, to enjoy it, and to observe, and to just to celebrate what had been made. So it's like he plants the garden and then he takes time to smell the roses, right? And it didn't just go on to plant another universe, but he took time to enjoy what had been made. And that's what we're invited to do as well. Now, to keep the Sabbath day holy, it's to separate it from the others for a specific purpose. It's to cease from work so we can focus on connecting with each other and God, so we can celebrate our freedom, and so that we can recharge. And so I think this is a wonderful sign of God's loving Father heart for us. He gives us this as a part of the Ten Commandments so that we will live healthy, balanced lives. And so this is really for spiritual and social and mental and emotional renewal, not to mention physical and spiritual renewal. So I think this is something that really is an area that we need to take to heart in our culture today. The Sabbath is given us as a help. And we really do need this rhythm of work and rest. It's, like I said, I think part of our DNA as created in God's image. Now, even if we really enjoy our work, I think a lot of us get a lot of satisfaction from working. But we need times of dialing down where we don't check our work emails, where we're not planning things, where we're not trying to fix things, where we're just stepping back and letting it all go for a day so we can relax and recharge our batteries. You know, to rest eyes that are strained by computer screens or necks from sitting, you know, this way too much, or backs that are getting worn out by sitting in a chair, a sedentary sort of lifestyle. Or the opposite, if you're kind of working really hard physically, you need time to kick back and to put your feet up and to rest our body. And that's something that I think a lot of us can relate to. You know, we need to renew our minds as well, just step away from it all. Now, this in turn generally helps us to be more efficient and productive when we do get back to work. And so there's a benefit in that kind of way too. It's not like working more necessarily makes us more productive. Stepping back actually might have the opposite effect, to make us more effective when we do come back. And so renewing our energy in this way, it's not a luxury. It's how we're created to live in that kind of a rhythm. Now, science backs up the benefits of a day of rest. If you've got a few of those up there on the screen. Research shows that a regular time out from work reduces stress, improves physical health. It actually does things like reduces inflammation and heart disease. It boosts the immune system, improves sleep. It restores mental energy, fuels creativity, and improves focus and memory, and improves productivity and job satisfaction in the end. It's almost like absence makes the heart grow fonder, right? You step away, you start to miss it, and you know, you're more energized when you finally come back. So this is research that shows that there's a benefit to the Sabbath in that kind of a way. But keeping the Sabbath also helps us to keep work in its proper place. Since it's usually our means of livelihood, unless we're independently wealthy and don't have to work, we just work because it's fun, you know, we're dependent on our income. And so that's part of it. But then also because work can be so rewarding, it has a tendency to expand and to be enlarged in our lives in a way that it becomes an idol, actually, that can enslave us. And so when we take a break, we're saying, no, God is my provider. I don't need to work all the time because he provides for me. I can go to sleep because he is awake and he's in charge of things. And so a day's rest dethrones work from the center of our lives and puts God first in our hearts. And in that way, keeping the Sabbath is also an exercise in trusting in God. You know, the world will keep spinning even if I step away for a while. You know, the church will keep going even if those of us who work in it take a pause. We need that. The church needs that, and we all need that, to realize that it's God who is our ultimate provider. So God does many things in the world through us, through our strengths and the gifts that he gives us. He does a lot of things despite us, right? Through our weaknesses, he can get things done. He's not dependent on us in that way. So he uses our strengths, but he also uses our weaknesses. And in fact, most of everything he does in the universe, he does completely without us. He's running this solar system without us even being involved at all. And so the Sabbath helps us to step back and realize that we're not indispensable and that it's God who is our ultimate provider. He is our creator and our sustainer. I had a friend who really wanted to honor God in this kind of a way by not studying on Sundays. So that meant that he would have to work really hard during the week in order to be ready for that test coming up on Monday. But it wasn't always possible for whatever reason. And so when Sunday came and he hadn't had a chance to study because of whatever reason, he wrestled with that. Oh, I made this promise, but maybe I've got this test coming up. And so, but for him, it was really important to say, no, I'm going to honor this commitment. And then when he did that, he'd show up on the Monday, and sometimes the test would have been moved to a different day. That can happen, right? I've been a part of that a few times. Maybe the test wasn't that difficult. He was ready for it anyway. Or it was a challenging test, but he got extra grace to concentrate, to remember those things, and to actually do a good job on that test. I'm not saying it happened every time, but maybe it's not something to just rely on, you know, laziness or whatever, and that God will just show up and help me to do a good job. I mean, normally he wants us to work those 6 days. But by honoring God in that kind of a way, it shows that he is our provider. He takes care of us. So God honors our faith. When we put God first, he takes care of us. And that's a principle all throughout Scripture. Well, secondly, the Sabbath helps us to celebrate. The second statement of the Sabbath commandment in the book of Deuteronomy has a slightly different nuance than in Exodus. It says this: remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. So here, the reason given for observing the Sabbath is the Israelites' liberation from slavery in Egypt. So celebrate the Sabbath because you've been set free. Enjoy your freedom. Remember your freedom. And setting aside one day every week to realize that God is the one who sets me free. And notice the order here. This commandment is given after God has set his people free. So first he rescues them from slavery in Egypt, and then come the Ten Commandments as a way to sort of live out that salvation, as a way to express trust in God. But first comes the liberation, and then comes the obedience, right? So it's a caricature to think that in the Old Testament, people had to earn their salvation, whereas in the New, we get it as a free gift. No, it was the same even then. It's the same God today, yesterday, and forever. He saves us by grace through faith, and then he gives us the commandments as a way to sort of live that out and to take advantage of that grace in our lives. And so I think this order really does emphasize that. God has always saved people by grace through faith. And so keeping the Sabbath is a response to that grace and a way for us to remember it. In fact, the Sabbath as a theme points forward to Jesus, to its fulfillment in Jesus Christ in the New Testament. And if you read Hebrews chapter 4, I'm not going to look at that now, but if in your small groups, if you want to look up that passage as well, Hebrews chapter 4, and it talks about this rest that God wants to invite us into. And so when Jesus comes, he fulfills the Sabbath. He brings that rest that the commandment points toward. We can cease from our work and rest in his work. So trusting in him and in his finished work that reconciles us to God, that forgives us, that's part of what the Sabbath commandment can help us to do, because it does point forward to Jesus and what he has done for us. So in Christ, we get to rest from our work and rest in his work. And so the commandment helps us to remember that. Jesus hasn't come to pile things on and to burden us, you know. That's oftentimes an idea that people have about the Christian faith. It's that it's all legalistic. It's about rules, what you should and shouldn't do. No, Jesus did not come to pile things on. In fact, he came to take our burden. And this is what we read about in Matthew 11, where Jesus says this: come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What a fantastic promise. I need more of that in my life. The 16th century German monk, Martin Luther, that we talk about a lot around here, was somebody who was very well aware of his shortcomings. And he could sit there in the monastery and confess his sins for hours. And he would turn every stone, and he just could not be free of his sense of unrighteousness. He was miserable. If you've read any of his autobiography stuff, it was a basket case. And during that time, he just felt like God was asking the impossible. And so he started to hate God. I mean, this is a monk. He's dedicated his life to serving God. And he just, hatred welled up in him because of this. God, you're asking the impossible. How can I ever do this? Well, he started lecturing through the letter to the Romans. And then in time, it dawned on him that God declares us righteous as we trust in Jesus. So he imputes, is one of those big words. He declares us, he justifies us righteous because of Jesus and his finished work on the cross. And as we trust in that, then we are declared righteous as a free gift of faith. And when Martin Luther realized this, he said, it was like I was born again and the gates of paradise opened up and his life was transformed and he was set free, that burden was lifted, and that's what caused the Reformation to take off. So this is fantastic news that Jesus has taken our burden. And that was something that he talked about all throughout his ministry. So observing the Sabbath helps us to remember and to celebrate and to enjoy our freedom in Christ. We don't work for our salvation. God works for us. He gives it to us as a gift, and we can rest in that. And thirdly, the Sabbath commandment is something that helps us to connect with God and each other. And this is implied in Exodus 31. The Israelites are to observe the Sabbath, celebrating it for the generations to come as a lasting covenant. It will be a sign between me and the Israelites forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And even in the original text, that could be God took a breath. He caught his breath after doing all this. And it's just a great picture of how God even goes into this kind of a rest, whatever that means in that dimension. But a covenant is an agreement between two parties, such as the covenant of marriage. And so this speaks of the fellowship and the relationship between God and his people. And so it's a sign of that, sign I belong to him. Like this ring right here, it's a sign I'm married to my wonderful wife, Christy. Well, the Sabbath is given as like a wedding ring to the people of God in the Old Testament. This is to help you remember, you belong to me. And so when we take a day out to celebrate and worship and connect with God and one another, we're reminding ourselves of that. We're cultivating that relationship. We're deepening that, and we're connecting with him and with each other. So it's a sign of that fellowship. And part of doing that is gathering for worship. That's what the people of God have done from the beginning until today. In fact, we took over most of the pattern of the Old Testament worship in the New Covenant, right? We switched day from Saturday to Sunday because Jesus rose from the dead on a Sunday. That's why we switched days, to honor that. But a lot of the pattern continues in the New Covenant. So we meet together to listen to God's word, to hear it read, to hear it explained, so that God can nourish our faith and can challenge us and shape us and convict us. That's part of it. And part of it is we respond in worship, in song, in prayer, and in confession. We give of our gifts. We serve with the spiritual gifts that he's given us. And all of this is part of being shaped and expressing our worship to God. We receive communion to nourish our faith. And all these things have generally taken place throughout history on the Lord's Day, whether it's a Saturday or a Sunday or some other day that you have set aside for that. And so that's part of how we can connect with God and one another. Now, when church attendance gets crowded out by other priorities, which is happening around the Western world, I can see a big difference even as I read statistics now from when I lived here 16 years ago. I was in Sweden for 16 years, and I see that the trend is happening here as well. And I'm not saying that it says anywhere in God's Word that you have to come every single week, but it is a good practice. And if we don't do that, what tends to happen is we cool off spiritually. So infrequent church attendance tends to cause us to cool off spiritually. Kind of like when you have a set of burning coals in the fireplace. Maybe you lit a fire during Christmas break this year. I don't know if you have coals in there. Maybe that's more as you're grilling. But you take one of those hot red coals and put it to the side. And quickly, it turns black or gray, right? It cools off. But then as soon as you put it back into that fire pit again, the fireplace, it turns red hot pretty quickly. And that's kind of a picture of what happens when we meet and when we gather together. Yes, it's possible to take in online services and sermons, etc. But there's something special about gathering together because we have something to give and we have something to receive. And we're a body, and this helps us to connect and to give to one another in that kind of a way. And that's how meeting together works. But I think it's also important to have that alone time with God. And the Sabbath gives us a little space and margin to do that, to spend some time on our own with God. I love to go for walks on my day off, which right now is Thursday. And just to let the thoughts flow, the emotions be stirred up, and then to give that to God and just connect with Him, talk about whatever's on my heart that way. And in fact, we can have long, you know, they talk about having a sabbatical from work. It's a chance to step back and to be refreshed. And I had an opportunity to do that right after college because I had been so busy with campus ministry and a full-time program of study that they were fantastic years, but I was really tired at the end. And so I had an opportunity to be at home with my parents for a year before going back into campus ministry. And I took a lot of time for silence and solitude and reflection and reading and walks and journaling and receiving prayer and letting God minister to me. And it's like the spark that was gone started coming back again as I stepped back. And I was able to go back into campus ministry much more energized and refreshed and renewed as I'd had some of that time. Now, I'm not saying we have to have a whole year for that, but if we take one day a week, that helps us to not need to take a whole year off. If we really, because I'd been neglecting that. I really had no time off. I was always doing something, and that takes its toll. Even if you're an extrovert, right? You need those times of stepping back, and that's what it helps us to do. It also provides an opportunity for unhurried time with each other, you know, to rediscover the family meal, cooking a meal together, and maybe doing the dishes together, sitting down by the fire, reading a book, playing a game, whatever you like to do, and to do that together, just to be together, and let things, thoughts come to mind, let conversations flow. And all this has a way of boosting our well-being. We're wired for a connection. And the Sabbath helps us to do that as we create space and margin in our lives. Let me conclude with a few tips for application, besides what I've already said, hopefully. And that is, first of all, to be free as you rest. Let's not turn a liberating gift from God into a tedious day-long obstacle course, as somebody has called it. In Jesus' day, they had created 1,500 rules of things you were not allowed to do on the Sabbath. It became a burden. People just felt like, I can never measure up. But the religious leadership was saying, you got to do these things to be faithful to God. And Jesus said, no. He observed the Sabbath, yes. He took daily times he celebrated the Sabbath weekly. We see that. But he also took times away to be on his own with God and to get that rest and refreshment. Yes, we see that. But when it came to their rules, he didn't follow them. And they had a problem with that. How can this rabbi who claims to be the Messiah not follow these rules? And then Jesus replies, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So it was given for our benefit. We don't do this in order to achieve really anything before God. He gives it to us as a gift. And it's true that Sabbath commandment is the only one of the Ten Commandments that isn't renewed in the New Testament explicitly. All the others are. This one is not. And I think it's because Jesus has fulfilled the commandment. But that doesn't mean that it doesn't have relevance for us. Paul says this in Colossians, therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. So it points forward to Jesus. But the principle of the Sabbath on a creational level is still for us, whether we believe in God or not, because we're wired for that kind of a rhythm to work and to rest. And so you could say this, that the principles of the Sabbath rather than its rules apply to us as Christians. So that we rest is essential. How we rest is up to us, because I think all those rules, the detailed rules, that there are some in the Old Testament, many more were added along the way, those don't apply directly to us anymore, but the principle of the Sabbath does. That's my conviction. And so I'd say, secondly, to guard our rest, besides being free in our rest, to guard it, to make sure that it doesn't get squeezed out. You know, to not check your work emails when you're off, to maybe turn off your phone or turn on flight mode, or at least the ringer off, right? To let people know that you're off. Maybe it's even good to wait to pay bills and do errands and chores, unless that's, you know, something that you enjoy. My neighbor really likes to cut the grass. That refreshes him. So, okay, more power to you. It can be that way, you know, sometimes, but raking leaves definitely is not, you know. Whatever is restful and refreshing, that's something that we should spend time doing. You know, sleep in. Relax with the family. I love to go fishing. It's kind of hard to do when it's iced over, but I'm looking forward to this spring going fishing. That's one of the things that's on my bucket list of things to do. And then I would say, thirdly, to focus on what we've been talking about here today in those 3 points of recharging, celebrating, and connecting. Because the Sabbath is God's gift to us to help us calm the chaos in our lives. Sabbath helps us to not work too much, but to get enough rest. And so it's a means of grace that can calm the chaos in our lives. So let's receive this gift. Let's practice it. Let me pray for us. God, I do thank you that you love us, that you have good plans for us, plans to prosper us and not to harm us, and that's your heart. And the Sabbath commandment is part of that. I pray that we would all discover more what that means for us in our lives today. Thank you for the freedom that we have in Jesus. Now help us to receive that grace and let it transform our lives as we spend time with you in our Sabbath rest. I pray for this in your name, Jesus. Amen. We're going to have a chance now to keep a time of silence for 2 whole minutes. And this is a chance for us to reflect on what's been said here and anything else that God wants to bring to mind. It's a chance for us to allow God to examine us like the amazing physician that he is. And so I want to read this verse as we do so. Psalm 139. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Amen.